First of all, we're testing to see if ruxolitinib is able to treat the cytokine storm associated with people with severe COVID-19 symptoms. Can you first start by quickly explaining what cytokine storm is?
Right, the cytokine storm is basically an overreaction of your immune system in fighting off the COVID-19 infection. So when you're first infected by the virus, you have a rapid phase of viral replication where the virus rapidly divides inside your body, and then your immune system appropriately starts to mount a response against that virus. Unfortunately, what happens in a number of cases is that immune reaction essentially sort of overshoots. So it becomes so aggressive that the inflammation that you get in your body's attempt to try to fight off the virus itself causes problems. And so we think that a number of the complications related to COVID-19 infection are not related to the viral infection per se, but to the overreaction of the immune system in trying to fight off the virus. And that's what we call the cytokine storm. And it's called cytokine storm because it involves a number of cytokines or factors in your blood that help to amplify your immune response to infections. And there are a number of these proteins in your body that ideally help to fight off the virus, but can also cause a variety of symptoms, fever, inflammation in the lungs, and so on, that can cause some problems for patients with COVID-19 infection. And so what we hope is that ruxolitinib will block this cytokine storm and prevent some of the complications related to the COVID-19 infection.
All right, and then outline, if you will, the clinical trial process. I understand there's three different clinical trials going on at this time.
Right, so we have two randomized clinical trials for patients in different stages of COVID-19 infection. So we have the RUX-COVID study. This is a study that we at Incyte are running with our colleagues at Novartis and the rest of the world. And this is for patients with COVID-19 infection who are hospitalized with cytokine storm. It is not for patients who require mechanical ventilation at this point, and one of the goals of the study is to try to prevent mechanical ventilation and ICU admission as well as improve survival. The other randomized study is the DVENT study, and this is a study that is specifically for patients who are requiring mechanical ventilation. So this is sort of the sickest of the sick, the patients who have such severe lung inflammation that they're now requiring mechanical ventilation. And so this study, we're looking at survival. Basically, the goal of the study is to reduce the number of patients who die by 28 days after starting therapy. So we know that this is a very sick patient population with a very high mortality, unfortunately. The other study that we have is an expanded access program. This is basically a program to allow physicians to get ruxolitinib for their patients with COVID-19 infection if they wish to try to use that to treat the infection and the inflammation in their patients. So this is a trial that we are running here in the U.S. It's really just an opportunity for patients and physicians to have access to the drug, but it's not a formal randomized clinical trial.
Right. So then, as these two separate clinical trials are underway, ruxolitinib is available in a clinical setting through the expanded access program for patients. Do we know at this time if there's been success treating people with ruxolitinib?
It's mixed. We don't have a lot of data at this point. There are some patients who have improved since being on the expanded access program. There are others who have not. At this point, it's difficult to really assess the contribution of the drug. Many of these patients were fairly late in their COVID-19 infection, but we'll be looking at the data more as the trial progresses.
And have there been any dangers found with ruxolitinib as far as maybe shutting down a patient's ability to combat the virus as it looks to shut down that cytokine storm?
There's nothing we've seen so far. That is a potential risk. We think that the risk is relatively low in the stage of the infection that we're fighting. So the period of the most rapid viral replication is usually fairly early in the illness. And by the time that patients are hospitalized, the amount of virus is actually somewhat lower than it was in sort of the pre-hospitalization stage. So we think that the potential benefits of ruxolitinib would outweigh any potential worsening of the viral infection through the blocking of the inflammation. So we haven't seen any evidence of that so far in our trials, and in some of the case reports that have been published as well, there hasn't been any clear negative effect of ruxolitinib on the viral infection.
Now, locally here in Delaware, as well as I believe with the national data, it seems that while the virus is continuing to spread and there is an increased number of cases, there have been a reduced number of hospitalizations and associated deaths. Are physicians finding ways to treat patients at this time who would maybe previously have been more severely affected by COVID-19?
I mean, I think what we've seen is a massive effort by hospitals, by physicians, by the pharmaceutical industry to try to develop different therapies for COVID-19 infection. It's really been an incredible response, and we know that there are multiple clinical trials that are ongoing, some of them have completed. We know there are some antivirals, for example, agents like remdesivir that are becoming much more commonly used due to their encouraging results in clinical trials. As well as just techniques that physicians are using to try to manage the patients as best they can, to try to prevent them from becoming hospitalized, and especially to try to prevent them from requiring mechanical ventilation, because we know that the mortality becomes worse as patients require hospitalization and require mechanical ventilation. So there are various techniques that physicians can use to try to treat the patients and prevent them from getting worse. So I think we've seen some success with some of those other methodologies in trying to reduce the hospitalizations and deaths as well.
So then, in respect to ruxolitinib, is the thing that makes it unique the fact that it treats this cytokine storm where you mentioned remdesivir or hydroxychloroquine or any of the other treatments don't treat that specific part of it?
Right, so remdesivir is one of the antivirals, so that's directly targeting the viral replication itself, not necessarily the inflammation. There are other agents that are treating the inflammation. So, for example, people have used dexamethasone or other steroids to try to block the inflammation. We think one of the advantages of ruxolitinib may be that it specifically blocks most of the cytokines that are involved in the cytokine storm. So if that is a key driver of the disease and the hospitalization, need for mechanical ventilation, all the inflammation we're seeing, if those cytokines are a key driver of that, then ruxolitinib has the potential of blocking the effect of those dangerous cytokines in these patients. So that's where I think the unique opportunity of ruxolitinib lies.
And then do we know how common the cytokine storm is with people who are in those critical stages of COVID-19?
So we think it's quite common. We know, though, as we're finding out more about this infection as time goes on, that it's really a multifaceted infection. So there are aspects of clotting and bleeding that happen as well that may be unrelated to the cytokine storm. But I think for most patients who are hospitalized, they almost certainly have at least some evidence of the cytokine storm going on with elevated levels of some of these cytokines and evidence of inflammation that's going on.
Then with respect to the two clinical trials that are ongoing, what is the timeline to when we know if ruxolitinib is an effective treatment?
So they're still ongoing with recruitment. We're still trying to recruit those as quickly as we can. I think in terms of timeline, somewhere around sometime in the third quarter, we hope to have results. But, it really depends on, recruitment to those studies and how it goes and just the epidemiology as the pandemic evolves. I mean, we've seen it, wax and wane in different countries and different states. And so, it depends a lot on that as well.